Welcome to Connections, a podcast of the JWB Jewish Chaplains Council.
All right, we are back. It's episode number 5, even though on my screen it says episode number 4, but that's because we are having back-to-back amazing conversations with awesome people doing awesome things for Jewish life in the military. I am joined once again by, I call him Uncle Irv, but for all of you out there, he's the director emeritus of the JWB, the Jewish Chaplains Council. Also, a fantastic, amazing retired, although you never can fully retire from the military. He is a Navy chaplain for life. But today in this conversation, the Navy chaplain / JWB director is going to be outnumbered by Army folks.
Go Army.
I'm feeling a little unsettled. Good day, everybody. Hope everybody's having a great day. Another great podcast here. Shalom, great to see you. And we are just so thrilled that with us here today is Chaplain Captain Karen Berger, U.S. Army. Chaplain Berger is stationed down at Fort Cavazos. And if you don't know where Fort Cavazos is, it's somewhere in Texas, and it used to be called Fort Hood. Okay, but it's not called Fort Hood anymore. It's called Fort Cavazos. And of course, Chaplain Berger comes to us with a wealth of experience, many, many years as a rabbi, many years as an Army chaplain. And I'm excited to talk to her in particular about this topic, because I think she brings just a great, great perspective on what we're going to talk about. And the topic for today is observing Shabbat and observing the Hagim, the holidays, while in the military. And Karen, great to have you with us. What do you have to say for yourself today?
What do I have? Not much to say for myself. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me. And let's get on with it. Let's see what happens.
All right. Wonderful. When the Talmud talks about Hanukkah, it begins asking the question, my Hanukkah, what's this whole thing about Hanukkah? So Karen, my Shabbat, what's this thing about Shabbat? What's so important about the Sabbath within the context of Judaism?
Within the context of Judaism? Well, I think that, you know, we live in a 24/7 world. And if you pay attention to everything that the science tells us and that economics tells us and all of the things that modern research tell us, living in this 24/7 world, it takes a toll on us. And I think the Torah and the sages had it right when they said, you know, you need to take time and put everything down, take a break, not do anything. See what you've done. In religious language, see how God has shown up in your life. Because if you don't do that, life passes you by and you miss everything.
Right. So Shabbat is the pause button, if you will, the pause button to your life.
Yeah, it's the pause button, but it's also the remember button. Mm. You know, people who aren't, what the Kiddush, the prayer that we say over the wine says, is that we don't say Kiddush, we don't bless the Sabbath because it's the Sabbath. We bless it because it's a remembrance of the fact that we believe in a God who frees us from slavery and continually does that moment, day in and day out. And we have an obligation to remember that, take time and do that and be grateful for that.
Yeah, and it's especially relevant in this conversation. We talk about Shabbat, and Karen, I'm hearing you say over and over again, the sort of that pause and that remember. And that's especially relevant in a military setting, by the way, not just for the Jewish community, but having that opportunity. And I find it very interesting where you and I met, a massive shout out. We actually didn't meet in person at that point, but where we crossed paths is I left formerly Fort Benning, now Fort Moore, where I was a Jewish lay leader, and you stepped in as the Jewish chaplain. And ironically enough, that Shabbat doesn't actually happen on Saturday. It actually happens on Sunday morning for the basic trainees.
Yeah. And that's because of the way that the legislation is written. You know, at basic training, the base that they use is Title 10. And Title 10 says we have to observe on Sunday, not on the Sabbath. Which is an interesting kind of conflation of terms that most people are not aware of.
It's my understanding that that's because it's a training environment, right? And so they got to adjust their training schedule Shabbat is Shabbat.
Right.
And traditionally, sunset Friday to sunset Saturday.
Right.
The United States Army in their infinite wisdom might call it a Sunday, but the three of us know that Shabbat is Shabbat. So tell me, in a perfect world, describe some of the things that you would do or would not do on Shabbat. It, not so much from a traditional sense, because we could be here for the next 10 hours, what you're allowed, not allowed to do on Shabbat, but give me some with some broad strokes of a paintbrush. What is Shabbat in your mind?
Well, so at least here on Fort Cavazos, because I am the rabbi here, I lead services every Shabbat, every Friday night. We light candles and we say Kiddush over really bad wine.
According to tradition, yes, bad
right,
wine.
I'm trying to change that, but I haven't totally been successful. In Germany, I was successful, but not here, ironically. And then we will do a study session. Well, right now I'm teaching other like people how to be lay leaders and how to lead services, but we do a variety of topics. And then we will do Kabbalat Shabbat. We'll do the service for the Sabbath Eve. And then after services, we'll say Kiddush together and eat homemade challah, because it's my joy and pleasure to eat homemade challah and to make it.
Wow. So let me just see if I can distill down just a couple of themes that you've mentioned. One of them, perhaps one of the most important, getting together, right? So Shabbat is about community. The second one is tefillah, is worship, right? There are certain prayers that we say on Shabbat that we don't say the rest of the week. And then there's sanctification, right? You say a blessing over the wine. And then the final one is food, right? They try to kill us. We want, let's eat. There's a meal component to Shabbat. And I would add that one more component is what is known in rabbinic literature as oneg, right? So a lot of people, when they think oneg, they think cookies or, you know, old entomans, gefilte fish there, or herring. But oneg really means joy, means pleasures. There might be oneg in, I don't know, fried chicken. I don't know, whatever it is you eat down.
The homemade challah.
It's the homemade challah.
Yeah.
Right. Very, very good. And now, how about you personally? So you're done with your official Shabbat duties. You've done services. Tell me some of the things that you personally do to mark Shabbat as Shabbat.
Well, for me, like, I spend time at home with my family. We light candles. We say Kiddush. And then I'll eat a late meal because I get home late.
Yeah.
I live a good distance. And we usually don't finish here until around 9:30, 10. So
yikes. Okay.
It's a late night for me. And then for me, the best thing that I can do and the thing that I really enjoy doing most is I get to sleep late on Saturday morning.
Oh, there we go.
You know, my normal wake up time is 4:30 a.m. so I can get to PT on time here at Fort Cavazos. And
no PT on Shabbat. I like that already.
PT on Shabbat. Don't do that. And then we'll go to services on occasion, but mostly what we do, because Waco is a very, very small city, and that's where I live, we spend time, our family spends time together, and we spend time with friends, and we sit back and we relax, and it's me and my dog and my spouse and friends, and just relaxing in the day and just enjoying ourselves.
Right, right. So again, a couple elements you mentioned, making Shabbat special, right? Making Shabbat different. So one day of the week, you're going to sleep a little later. Actually, my big oneg for Shabbat, my big joy in Shabbat is just taking the time, and Saturday morning is my quiet time, reading the paper, having a hot beverage before we get together to go to shul. All right, very good. You kind of mixed a little bit what you do in the military sense, what you do in the personal sense, but you're an officer and a chaplain, so you have a little more leeway in. We do recognize that Jewish personnel, service members, might not have the leeway that you have. So tell me about some of the challenges of observing Shabbat in a military setting and how you recommend to your sailors dealing with them.
Well, I don't normally have sailors. When I was in Afghanistan, I did. So, I think the biggest challenge, I think that the higher you go up in terms of rank, the challenges get a little bit easier to deal with.
Right.
So I think the biggest challenge is here on Fort Cavazos. This is a very high deployment environment. We deploy a lot and often. And So our work pace is, our operational pace is very hectic. And it's a really regimented environment. So I think the biggest challenge, at least on the lower ranks, for the lower ranking soldiers, is actually getting time off to go to services, like getting their boss to let them just go to services can sometimes be a challenge just because of the operational pace.
Yeah. So help me understand Private Elson here. And I want to go to services. And I ask my supervisor, and he says, not only no, but heck no. So
every unit in the Army, every large unit, has a chaplain assigned to them. They're not all Jewish. Their job is to help their soldier get to services. And the regulations, the rules are very clear that unless this soldier is on something that is going to, like, unless their job is going to cause a mission to fail, they must be allowed to observe.
Okay.
And chaplains are the ones who get them to us.
Okay, so certainly first line of defense is the chaplain. I actually would say there's maybe a previous line of defense, and that is how the request is made. No, you can't go because you need to do X, Y, Z. And I think, you know, perhaps present an alternative. I'd be glad to do the X, Y, Z when I get back. I'd be glad to do the X, Y, Z the next day or Sunday and so on. But certainly chaplains are always there. All right. What about if it's just an impossibility? A lot of our young enlisted folks don't have vehicles and they have no way of getting to services. What are some of the ways that they could make Shabbat special for them outside the context of services?
So one of the things that I always offer soldiers is that if they're not going to be able to make Shabbat and they want me to come to them, I can and I will. You know, coming to my soldiers, that's how the operational chaplaincy works here. We go to where the soldiers are at. So if the soldiers are in the field, I make sure that they, if they want candles or they want Kiddush wine or they want challah, they can have it. If they want to have a Havdalah, they can do that also. But, you know, if they're on the line, if they're on a field exercise and we have to maintain security and stuff like that, then we find a way to work with them on that so that they have the means to do their job and also observe. The other thing that we often will do is, in partnership with JWB JCCA, we make sure that if they want a prayer book, they have them and they're easily available and accessible. And we make sure that they've got what they need in order to be able to observe to the level that they want to observe.
Right. First of all, thanks for the shout out. Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of times Shabbat is in a bubble. And the rest are environmentals, right? So Shabbat it is what you make of it. So if you could devote 15 minutes to saying a little Kiddush or 15 minutes to even just emotionally, spiritually welcoming the Shabbat, that's okay too. We can't foresee, we in the military can't foresee every situation, but Shabbat is, you can make Shabbat anywhere and with anything. So Shalom, go ahead.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I always bring up in the beginning of any Shabbat, any Chag, any holiday celebration, is being cognizant that some of the best memories that people have of a Pesach Seder or a Rosh Hashanah service often are those 15-minute programs, those 15-minute opportunities to come together as a community in some of the most remote and austere and challenging environments. So Chaplain Berger, I'm curious if you have any of those memories as a chaplain, and I believe you initially came into the military enlisted. Any experiences that stand out for you in Shabbat and holidays that you want to sort of shout out and share with our listeners?
Yeah. What was your most memorable Shabbat while in the military?
Most memorable. Absolutely. Well, so the most, it's really not the most memorable Shabbat that I can really talk about, because those are pretty regulated in terms of that. And it's not the ones actually that soldiers actually have me come out for that often. They have me come out for things like Pesach and the holidays. I think that the most memorable one was when I was in Afghanistan and I had to get to Kandahar from Bagram. And we couldn't get a flight out because all of the flights were locked up. And I ended up flying on one of the special forces flights in a C-14. And with a bunch of special forces folks, literally in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. and we got to Kandahar and they landed and in the middle of the airfield and they said, get off. My chaplain assistant and then my aunt and I, we walked over to the main office at 3 a.m. and met our Jewish soldiers who kind of got us situated and then did the service the next day. That I think was the most unusual one. And
how about in your ends?
I actually, this is going to sound terrible because it really didn't involve other Jews, but some of my most memorable Shabbatot were aboard ship where, you know, after services and at night, I'd go out to the flybridge or outside of the skin of the ship and just look at the stars and look at the ocean. Billy Joel has a song, A New York State of Mind. And I think what Karen was indicating, what you had indicated, Shabbat, was that Shabbat is also a state of mind. Maybe at some point, somebody should write a book about Shabbatot in different places that our chaplains have been. Well, if you find yourself with some extra time in the next couple of months, there's your next project. So tell me now, for our a little more senior folks, and tell me about some of the strategies about working with commanders to overcome some of the challenges of Shabbat and so on. What are some of the strategies that you would use?
I think that for me, mostly when it comes to Shabbat, commanders actually want their troops to be able to observe Shabbat. They really do. Most of them think it's really important and they want to be able to work with their soldiers and to do this. So I think for me, the first thing has been to build alliances with the commanders and so that I can understand what they need and what they're trying to accomplish in their mission. And then making sure that they are invited to observe with us, having them see what we do with the soldiers makes a huge difference. And just them seeing the little bit of effort that it takes to make a huge difference in people's lives. I think that that's the biggest thing that we can do.
Yeah, boy, I really like that. Just involving the commander, not only, you know, have him or her make the decision, but see what the benefits, they see firsthand what the benefits are. And look, in these days where each of the services, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, Merchant Marines, Space Force, they're all, did I miss anybody? I think I got them all. Boy Scouts, they're all emphasizing spiritual fitness. You know, in the Jewish tradition, there's no better tool for spiritual fitness than Shabbat. The other thing I would add, Karen, is, you know, prior planning prevents poor performance.
Yeah.
Boy, you know, going to a commander Friday at 1700 saying, sir, I need time off for Shabbat, probably is not as effective as going, you know, Monday morning and working within the system. Shalom.
Yeah, many of our listeners, as they are fascinated with the topic of Jewish life in the military, unfortunately, and I mean that, underline that word, unfortunately, will not be on an installation in a location where there is a Jewish chaplain. Many folks have stepped up. We've had a conversation previously on the program about DRGLs and Jewish lay leaders, and God bless them, those that have stepped up to serve. But many folks will be in other locations. And Karen, I'm curious if you have any words of advice for them, not only in how they can, again, create that I like that term, that Shabbat, you know, frame of mind, but also potentially expose others to it and maybe share and teach others about what Shabbat and holidays are.
So I think that my take on DRDLs, like the distinctive faith group leaders, is that their job, is not to be the rabbi per se. It is to build community.
Right. And we don't want them to be the rabbi.
Right. Even if they want to be the rabbi, which is kind of how Shalom got his start, I think that the best thing that you can do is start with where you are and do things that you love to do and that people want to do. You know, if you're in the most remote location like I can think of in the military, one of the best ones is up in Alaska in Fairbanks. You know, Fairbanks is beautiful. It's, you can go outside in the middle of winter and see the northern lights, and it's a gorgeous area. And so if I were to do Shabbat, I would say, you know, find a way to get out there, to be with people, to enjoy the environment and do things you love to do that are going to enable you to kind of reflect on the gifts that you've been given of where you're at. you know, being remote can be lonely, but it can also be a chance for you to grow and reflect and really think about the gifts that you've been given and experience gratefulness for what you've been able to experience.
So that really hits a responsive chord with me, Karen, because it's not only a state of mind, but it's something that is proactive, right? You create your Shabbat experience. And, you know, the more traditional sense of Judaism, a Shabbat experience obviously is, you know, Friday night services, Shabbat dinner and Shabbat morning services and eating gefilte fish in the afternoon, whatever it is. But yeah, you also create your own Shabbat experience. And part of that Shabbat experience is doing what you like that you're perhaps not able to do the rest of the week. I want to transition a little bit, if it's okay, with you, Karen, and with Almost Rabbi Klein. Talk a little bit about holidays, right? About Jewish holy days, because they are, in a way, Shabbat-like, that they require prior planning and they have their own frame of mind and their own experience. But depending on the holidays, it's got different elements. So tell me a little bit about how holidays are observed differently in the military than in civilian life. And let's start with just the upcoming holiday of Passover. And just talk a little bit about just how should Jewish personnel prepare for Passover while they're in the military?
Well, I think it depends on where you are.
Yes.
You know, if you're in garrison or on post, most posts will have Passover Seders, Sedarim, that you can attend pretty easily. And if you can't, there's a Jewish community that you can get to relatively simply. You know, and they're in the evening. So assuming that you're not in the field and that you're at garrison, it's pretty easy to take care of and get hooked into. Here on Fort Cavazos, for example, we're having a big Seder on the first night, and it'll be in the chapel where the Jewish service is located. Right. And there are invitations that go out for that. It's a public, it's pretty well announced. If you're going to be in the field or on a field exercise, you know, your chaplain can get you food that is specifically designated both for Erev Passover for the Seder and also for the holiday itself for the 7 or 8 days of the Chag right. That you serve. You can have kosher food.
Before we go to that, so I would say that holy days, because we know exactly when these holidays are going to fall, right? Yep. We know, I can tell you when Passover is going to be for the next 2,000 years. So it shouldn't come as a surprise, even though I'm surprised that people are always surprised that Passover is coming. So yeah, again, I think here's one of those times when prior planning say, hey, you know, we're going to have this exercise next month. It's Passover. So that chaplain should be able to make arrangements to bring the personnel back from the field to observe the Passover and back out to the field. Another element that you mentioned that I think you're spot on is, depending where you are, but the local Jewish community or the local Jewish families, some of the most wonderful Passovers that I've celebrated have been in the Middle East, celebrating, you know, first night on base, the second night getting invited to a local Bahraini Jewish family to observe Passover. You should use all your resources. Now, getting back to these Passover meals, tell me about those.
So the military, the DOD in general, has an agency that helps provide kosher meals for soldiers. You can get kosher meals during the week in MREs also. To get them, you just have to ask for them, and your chaplain will help you get them. The key is that you just got to give them enough time to get the resources. The military is a big kind of it's a big bureaucracy, and getting food and supplies sometimes takes some effort. So that prior planning is really important. And your chaplain actually is charged with ensuring that if you want those foods, you can have them. So the last unit I was with, for example, is now at NTC. It was my job to tell people when those holidays were and to make sure that those halal meals and those kosher meals are ordered 4 to 6 weeks ahead of time.
I think four to six weeks is being very...
Those are regular kosher meals.
Yeah. So usually Passover falls in the spring, right? Late March to late April, depending on the year. hey, if by 1 January, those orders are not into the DLA, that's the agency you're referring to, Defense Logistics Agency, through your chain of command, then you're not doing yourself a favor. So the DLA, Defense Logistics Agency, they have the kosher for Passover meals, for the weekday, for the Seder. They each have an NSN number, and they're ordered through the supply system.
That's right.
God help us all. But they're ordered through the supply system.
I do want to give out a shout out to the Religious Affairs Unit at DLA. They will move heaven and earth to get you the supplies if they can and if need be. You know, during COVID, when we went into lockdown, we had kosher meals for the entire base for all of Seder, and within less than 2 weeks, which is saying something. I mean, we had something, I can't even tell you, I want to say close to 1,500 meals delivered in 2 weeks, which is a pretty amazing thing if you think about the number of meals that they have to put out across the country.
Right. Shalom, here's our regular podcast commercial. If you are running into some problems getting kosher for Passover meals, if your chaplain has any questions about getting some kosher for Passover meals, please don't hesitate to call us at the JWB Jewish Chaplains Council or at one of our partner agencies, Aleph, for example. And we've gotten pretty good at greasing the skids of the system, so you can get what you need. Okay, so we talked about Passover. How about some of the other holidays? Tell me some of the strategies for observing the Jewish high holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. You know, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is a fast day, but dollars to donuts, that's probably the day that your unit's going to be running the physical readiness test or the fitness test. Again, tell me, what will you do? What will you do?
Well, assuming, you know, it's very much the same in terms of, sorry, we just had a flight go overhead. It's very much the same for planning for the high holidays as it is for Rosh Hashanah, except for you don't have to have special meals beyond kosher. You know, pre-planning is really the key in terms of getting yourself out there and getting yourself taken care of. And, you know, if you can't get back, getting a shofar so you can at least hear the shofar blow, or getting a rabbi to you with a shofar or somebody who, or a DRGL who can blow that shofar if you can't do it, that's pretty easy. We just got to know that that's what you need, you know. And when I was at Fort Moore, oftentimes what would happen is we'd do the high holiday services, and on second day, I'd make sure that the shofar and I made it out to wherever the field exercise was taking place, and we'd blow the shofar then. We'd do a very short, brief service on Rosh Hashanah with the Avinu Malkeinu and various other pieces, and then blow the shofar and do the shofar blow. And on Yom Kippur, not so easy to do, but that's a matter of making sure that you can get the shofar if you need it, and knowing that and allowing yourself the space to be able to do the things that are important to you.
Right.
I think
which kind of brings us full circle. You know, we started talking about the big picture of Shabbat, I love what the Jewish philosopher Abraham Joshua Heschel said, that Shabbat is an island in time. And because it's an island in time, you could be in Afghanistan, you could be in Georgia, you could be in the hallowed halls of JWB at 528th Avenue in New York, and that's where you make that island in time. And then we kind of transitioned over to talk a little bit about the meat and potatoes, right? If you'll pardon the pun. We talked about, you know, prior planning and strategies of talking to your chaplain, talking to your commander, and strategies about, you know, how do we get to a chaplain, or how do we get a chaplain to get back to us? And so in the few minutes that we have left, I want to kind of come back and talk a little bit more about the spirit of Shabbat and the spirit of the holidays in a military environment. And, you know, we live, as you said, Rabbi Berger, in such a fast-paced world. And in the military, it's not only fast-paced, but it's oftentimes dangerous. It's oftentimes unpredictable. And how does Shabbat help a little bit? How do the holy days help a little bit Jewish personnel to operate in this military environment?
So I think the thing in terms of spiritual resiliency that we as Jewish people know and that the military has learned is that predictability is a big key to being mentally and healthy, mentally happy and healthy. And Shabbat and the holidays, the great thing about them is that they're absolutely predictable. Shabbat comes every week. Passover comes every year. High holidays come every year. And not only that, we know when they're coming. If you can't get on the internet, there are books and books and books that have these dates planned out. I don't know what, 5,000 years into the future. And you can easily take these dates and plan them out and know when they're coming. And there's no surprises. You may not be able to do everything you want to do, but you can do something. And I think that that's the first step. And then I think the second step is recognize that it's important to take a breather. You have to take a knee now and again. And even if it's only for 15 minutes to say, thank you, God, for this week that you've given me and for the essence of this day and for this terrible wine that we're drinking that tastes like grape juice that's been fermented, which it has. It's an opportunity for us to do that on a regular basis and to train ourselves so that we're able to do that no matter where we are and when we are and what, no matter what we're doing.
I like that. I like that very much. Thank you. As we wrap things up, talking about Shabbat and the holidays, I do want to share with you one other component of Shabbat and the holidays, you know, especially on deployment. Those of us who have spouses, who have kids, Shabbat is a hard time. If you're used to spending Shabbat with your wife, with your kids, with your husband, with your spouse, it's hard time. And Jen Berger, I love what you said about predictability, because one of the things that really gave me a lot of comfort and a lot of solace is that as I was observing Pesach, my family was observing Pesach. And there's that mystical spiritual connection that I think is really important. And by the way, you know, you could take a step back and say, wow, I might be here in the hills of, you know, Afghanistan observing Rosh Hashanah, but guess what? I'm connected to every other Jew in the world that's observing Rosh Hashanah. That's part of the magic that Shabbat brings to our lives. Well, Shalom, I'm going to turn it over to you, Karen. Thank you so, so much. And we still have a couple of weeks, but wishing you a happy and healthy Passover.
Thank you so much, Chag Sameach. Shalom, I will see you in New York, Erev Rav.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. What a fascinating discussion. And again, Shabbat and holidays are probably one of the most associated things that people often will talk to a chaplain about. And certainly whether you're a family that's moving somewhere and you're interested in that sort of garrison life, or again, you're deploying, again, we've heard some really great tips. So very grateful for that. Great discussion. That's going to wrap us up for today. Definitely get in touch with us with any feedback. We love hearing from our listeners. You can do that by going to jcca.org/JWB, jcca.org/JWB. Get in touch. You don't really need to have a reason other than just say you really liked Rabbi Erev Elson's comments on XYZ. That's more likely the feedback that's going to come in. But also,
well, you're going to like Rabbi Elton's comments. That's okay.
It is. That's an option too. Absolutely. Well, great. We love to hear from folks. And be sure to get on your favorite podcast app, subscribe, rate, review, and share. It makes it even easier for others to find the show. That's a wrap for us until the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. And Erev, can't wait to see you again next time. Take care.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
You have been listening to Connections, brought to you by the JWB Jewish Chaplains Council, serving those who serve.